Okay, we are on the radio. We are on a little early. This doesn't really count since everyone is expecting us in 9 minutes. So for those of you who are listening, Merry Christmas Eve. And if you're here for the first time, we do a conference line. And we kind of do a conference line meditation, bringing in energies, communing. So as you listen, there should be people checking into the line. My name is Wayne Free, and you are on the BBS radio network, as well as our telephone conference line. And right now we have two people on the line, me and Daphne. Anyone else on the line, Daphne?
Not that I know of. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you. You're a little bit far off, but I hear you.
I'll bring it closer. I lost the signal, and so I have to be very careful about moving around here.
Mm-hmm.
I have to hold it up very high to the window. So,
mm-hmm.
Can you hear me now? Is that okay?
I hear you.
Should I bring it closer to my mouth?
How far are you from your mouth now? Oh, you don't have a headset yet, do you? Jeez.
You know, you're supposed to send me one, but I'm going to probably see you before. Just bring me one to San Diego.
Now, keep in mind, we're on BBS radio now. We're on the air.
Okay.
Don put us on early because no one was on. But,
there's nothing wrong with saying bring me a headset to San Diego.
Right. Those of you that are listening, you are hearing the repartee between Daphne Kay and Wynn Free. Hi, my name is Wynn, and would you like to say your name and your city? You don't have to if you're just listening in. You're on our conference line, our Monday night planetary healing hour. We wish you a Merry Christmas Eve, if this is your first time. And usually we have lots of people by this time, but maybe because of Christmas Eve, everyone's having a good time with their family, which is okay. It's 6:54. If this is your first time on the line, then you may not know. I don't know if you know anything about my background or not, but I am the author, the principal author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And somehow or another, I have gotten this unusual job of being a celestial emissary, having conversations and understandings of intelligences that are outside of this dimension, that kind of went out of their way to make themselves known to me. It was not anything I looked for or imagined would happen, and they made themselves known in a way that I had to take it quite seriously. And so, of course, I wrote a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which brings in the messages of what identifies themselves as the Ra group, which is a huge group soul made up of billions of individual souls that have graduated from this realm and now act as a helper for planets at lower levels of evolution. And then I had a personal relationship while I was writing the book, and there was this experience of spontaneous channeling. Hi, this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? Oh, you know what?
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
You know what?
Hello.
Hi there. I had everybody muted, and I was wondering why no one was talking to me. that explains it. So you probably, I'm going through this explanation, and I don't need to, do I? Who is that? Is that Undine?
I'm here.
I recognize you. Hello. That's pretty good.
And Jackie's here.
And Jackie, that was you who I thought came in first, right?
Well, I've been on a while.
Okay. When I thought no one was on, and I started blabbering. Right. Oh, well, now I don't have to blabber. God, everyone knows that. Well, we're not officially starting yet, but we also have Daphne on. Are you on, Daphne?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah, and someone else just checked in. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hey, Wynn. This is Jeff in Northridge.
Hi, Jeff. And my name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Wynn. This is Kathy in Tennessee.
Kathy in Tennessee. And I hear someone else. Who's that? I missed it. Who was that after Kathy? Kathy?
I thought I heard Zach.
Matt? Is that Matt? This is Ben. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Ben. This is Maya, and I'm calling from China Camp.
Hi, Maya. China Camp?
Yes.
Where is China Camp?
It is, opposite of Berkeley in Marin, and it's outside of Novato, south towards the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it has its beaches, and there is a lot of water around there, but it's really hard to tell. It's a reservoir campground or something.
Well, I am so glad you chose to share Christmas Eve with us tonight. Thank you for being here. And let's see, somebody else just came in. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Well, I'm still here. This is Robert from Cleveland Heights.
Oh, Robert, that was you who we didn't understand.
Well, huh? The second beat, not the third one.
I see.
Yes, Gary, Marianne, and Emmy in San Diego.
Hi, Gary, Marianne, and Emmy. Hi, Emmy. It's nice to have you again. Are you all having Christmas dinner together?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Lynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Anna in Berkeley, California.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Now, we are on BBS Radio. So we'll say hello to everyone in BBS Radio while we're checking people in. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Gary, Marianne, and Emmy in San Diego. Hi, Gary, Marianne, and Emmy. Hi, Emmy. It's nice to have you again.
Wait, this is Gino and Claudia from Madrid.
Hi, Gino and Claudia.
Okay. Hi, guys. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Christmas, everybody.
Okay. Anyone else there? We have Undine, Jackie, Jeff, Kathy, Maya, Robert, Gary, Anna, and Gino.
And Jara.
And Claudia.
And Jara. And Claudia. And hi, Jara.
Come on, Wynn.
Well, I think of you as a group soul, Gino. The group soul is named Gino.
No, it will be named Wynn. Come on.
Which includes Claudia and Kendra. But you know what? I really should say Claudia, and that should include Gino and Kendra, right?
There you go. I like that.
That's better. Hi, Claudia and Kendra.
But you know what, Wynn?
Huh?
When we met you, I begged you to go today.
To see you, so here we are.
You mean he wouldn't have gone if you weren't begging him, huh?
Right.
And here I was flirting with your wife.
Yeah, that's typical of you. You see a pretty woman and walking by, you have to stop her. Excuse of the book.
All right. Anybody else on the line? Okay. Well, we are. It's Monday night, Christmas Eve, and there's somebody. My name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? That's okay. You can listen in. All right. I'm going to mute you all. Daphne, are you still there?
I'm here, yes.
Okay.
All callers are muted.
So, this is kind of a special night, and I think it's special, not just because it's a celebration of Christ and the birth of Christ, but there's something about the energy that has traveled through thousands of years so that the entire planet, or certainly a good portion of it, people have slowed down and stopped their frantic type of energy, or they've turned it down, and there's this moment where the ethers are a little more clean. So it's a really special time to do a group coming together, creating a group energy, and creating a planetary healing, because there's more input on the planet, more receptivity to it. And I was thinking all day, I've had all these thoughts popping in my mind about what am I going to talk about tonight? And the topic kept coming up of co-creation. Co-creation. Because it's one of the things we're doing, the group that meets all the time on our conference line, is we are doing something co-creatively. Now, co-creation is quite different than cooperation. Cooperation is a human quality where we agree to, you do this and I'll do this and you do this and I'll do this and we'll get the job done. You know, it might be, I'll cook dinner and you do the dishes, or you get the idea. You know, there's a million ways to cooperate. Co-creation can look like cooperation, but it's a higher octave of cooperation. Because in co-creation, there's not just the physical action that's being done. There's another action where energies are blended between two or more people. Now, blending energies doesn't necessarily mean spiritual. There's a lot of levels of co-creation. So just because something is co-creative doesn't mean it's spiritual. Of course, everything is spiritual, so even if it's not spiritual, it is, because I don't mean to imply that there's nothing that isn't spiritual. So maybe I need to find a different way to make this distinction. When people come together, they can be co-creative, but for a worldly reason, like let's start a business, or let's create a home, or any number of reasons that people come together. And they can even have a phenomenally great energy, very high and beautiful connection, co-creatively, to cause something to happen on the physical realm. They can have a great energy and have great camaraderie and rob a bank and they can be great pals, and they can have psychic interchange, and, you know, all of those things happen, can be part of a connection between people, and be co-creative, and be very fun and high, and people know they're interacting, but they're based on the fulfillment of the completion of something in the physical realm. And oftentimes, when the thing in the physical is completed, the energy doesn't continue. In fact, sometimes it gets worse. Like a bunch of people that get together to rob a bank, once they rob the bank, they split the money and then they go their ways until they come together to rob another bank. So the energy lasts until it's accomplished. Sometimes a couple comes together and has a home and raises children. And then once the children leave the home, it seems oftentimes the relationship needs to find another reason to be there, or it starts to disintegrate or fall apart. So it was co-creative, it was joyous, there was a lot of wonderful things that transpired as those children were being brought up, but then there was, once the children grew and left home, the relationship weakened because there was nothing to focus on to create, because it was based on creating something in the physical, even as beautiful as raising children. Now, sometimes the relationships with the children continue, and people continue to have dinner with their children. Maybe the son comes into the father's business and works with him. Maybe the mother becomes the grandmother and then babysits for the grandchildren. But it's still based on something in the world, even though it's beautiful, even though there's energy in it. And it's transitory. It's of this world. And we're talking about a co-creation that's based not for anything in this world. Not for money, not for children, not for physical family. A coming together that says, let's create something for the upliftment of this planet. And what happens is, the partnership we have is not based on any particular physical thing or physical return. It's an extremely high purpose. And when people come together for that kind of high purpose, then when you leave your body, the togetherness might actually continue. Now, I'm still in a body, so I'm speculating there. But I think that might be true. I think that you create connections that are outside of this realm, and those connections exist for longer than this lifetime. Now, I know that I've met people that I've had past lifetimes with, and that we have done similar kind of work in those past lifetimes. And when we meet again, sometimes it takes a while to figure it out, but we start doing that same work. And in co-creation, there's this experience of separate bodies, but one energy, or close to one energy. It's never perfectly one energy, but a combination where there's a teamwork. Of course, a great place where we've seen teamwork and co-creation, two great places that everyone has seen that, is in sports, where a team gets so tight. connected that they psychically know what each other are going to do, and you watch it, and it looks like total magic. And another place is music, where you hear a group of people playing music, and the magic happens, and they're psychic, and one guy hits a riff, and the next guy already knew before he hit the riff what he was going to hit, and plays a riff that responds to that riff, and you know that no one could think that fast. So the way that occurs is through the co-mingling of energies in other dimensions. And it manifests in this dimension as joy, as love, fun. But again, when the gig's over, everyone separates. So you could call it discontinuous energy patterns. Energies of coming together and having a wonderful time, but then when the gig is over or the sports game is over or the bank is robbed, things separate. But when you come together for a purpose outside of this realm with the intent of uplifting this realm, and people share that intent, the purpose never separates. It continues. So the relationships that are coming together with that kind of intent can stay together for eternities. And I mean, I don't remember eternity, so that's a speculation. But they certainly can stay together for an entire life. You know, we talk about group souls, and these two group souls that are outside of this realm that seem to be dedicated to the upliftment of our realm. And in both cases, the energies of those group souls, the Ra group and the Elohim group, first, they don't need food. I don't think they need recognition. They don't need anything in the physical. And they exist, and their intent seems to be pretty pure to want to help us. But somebody has to evaluate that from their own experience. After watching them, reading them, studying them, talking to them, my take on it is their intent is pretty pure, and that they have no vested interests. And that's a very important thing that anyone that comes into studying this work I'm doing has to independently decide, because as the Ra group has stated in channelings, the negative can also channel, and the negative can look positive, and they can, but they have an agenda. So you have to watch very carefully. You can't believe a channeling just because I say it's real. You have to evaluate it over a period of time. You have to evaluate the impact of your own life. You have to evaluate the consistency of how the intent feels, and use your own discernment to draw a conclusion that not only is it real, but it's helpful. And that, why is it helpful? Well, in co-creation, we talk about bringing all our energies together, and the energies that we bring together in co-creation are not physical energies. When musicians jam and they co-create and they're very psychic with each other, yes, it's expressing itself as beautiful music, but the music is not the co-creation. The music may be the end result. But the co-creation comes from the high purpose of people coming together to create beautiful music. And there's some kind of magic that happens, because no one can do that out of willpower. It's like synchronicities. I haven't experienced, I've had many, many synchronicities in my life, and I've never, ever been able to make one happen out of willpower. It happened when I was slightly off center. Like, there are ways to notice how these things happen. Like, having a very neutral intent other than making great music, being relaxed in your body, not being competitive with the other musician, not caring who's getting the attention in a given moment, and also having done enough study of music so that you have chops. That chops means that you have, you know, the notes. You can move your fingers. You have all the runs together. And then when you have chops, your subconscious has all those chops on top of each other, and you're not worried about the technique. You've mastered the technique. So now you just sit in your energy body. Your energy body sits with the other person's energy body, and it runs down through the technique, and you start playing things, and things, magic starts happening that you could never, ever do out of your conscious willpower. And so that's the magic that we're looking for, to create the magic of interweaving matrices that cause something to happen that none of us could do by ourselves. And if we're talking about matrices and we're talking about the parts of us that are psychic and in other dimensions, then we can talk about the other intelligences in these other dimensions. Because as I've come to understand, it's quite a complex place. And just as we have a whole planet with billions of people, on the other side of this veil, which none of us can directly see through, there's trillions and trillions of energies. There's God knows how many different dimensions and different timelines all happening simultaneously. And all those dimensions, there are many of them, and I don't understand how many are exactly the parameters, but many of those things and other timelines can interact with the parts of us that are in other timelines. And again, there can be good things and positive and service to other things that can interact, and there can be negative and service to self things that interact. A negative thing that interacts wants to capture your energy. It wants to possess it. And we don't even know that's occurring. But it's like being held and capped in a place where, say, for example, I'm using music as an analogy, somebody can attend a really great musical performance or a jam, and there's all this great energy in the room, and everybody is kind of grooving with the energy and feeling it, and then there'll be a couple people that no matter what happens, they don't feel the energy because their energy is internally capped. They can't let their energy release into the group energy of the room. So some people can't feel this energy at this moment. I can say there are many times in my life, earlier in my life, where I wouldn't have felt the energy. So don't feel bad if you don't feel anything, because it's just an indication of where you are right now in your own track, and that there are keys, and we're presenting a lot of those keys in these calls to help people release these contractions so they can expand into this higher energy. Now, one of the things that happens as you expand into the higher energy, you become able to co-create. And being able to co-create might mean you become a good bank robber. Hopefully not, but, you know, there's nothing necessarily positive or negative in terms of just the idea of co-creation until you start co-creating for some reason that's bigger than your own gain in some way. People come together to make money. That's okay. I mean, it's not wrong to do that. We need money. People come together to make love. That's not wrong. Our bodies need that. People come together to make music. That's great because the enthusiasm uplifts people's spirit. But it's what we could call discontinuous energy patterns, because when the point of co-creation is gone, the energy falls out. And so only, I remember reading this in the I Ching years ago, only when a relationship is based on truth, higher truth, does it endure beyond all things. So if I had a vision, it would be to create relationships based on higher truth. And that means on upliftment of this planet. Now, when you say upliftment of the planet, it sounds like, whoa, that's really big. But how do you start uplifting the planet? Small things, small day-to-day things, things you do that have no vested interest. It doesn't mean you have to be Mother Teresa and live from morning till night and be sacrificed, you know, sacrificed to your work. It could mean that, but it doesn't mean it. It just means little things that you do that you have nothing to gain from doing them that you know changes the world slightly. And as you do it, you start to experience a transformation in yourself. You know, many people feel unworthy. And unworthiness means you're not worth anything. How do you become worthy? How do you go from unworthiness to worthy? You do some worthy things. You make a difference for someone. And you have that in the back of your mind. I'm going to find things today to make a difference. And before you know it, people say, wow, we really value you. We're glad you came into the room. Where have you been? We haven't heard from you for a while. Because now you're being worthy. And the worthiness that you create for other people comes back to yourself. And it becomes a little bit like a snowball that keeps picking up snow and gets bigger and bigger. Before you know it, you're just a lighthouse, and it's just become second nature. You don't even think about it. But it has to start small, because we have to start where we are. And then two people join those energies, and the snowball becomes bigger and bigger, and three people. And you know, when you're dealing with things in other dimensions, you have what's called the 100th monkey effect, because you are psychically then impacting the etheric of the planet. Now, this is one that's hard to see. And there's the story of the 100th monkey, and I don't even know if this is true, but it does make the point that there were some anthropologists that were on this island, and the monkeys were starving. And so they showed this one monkey how to dig up a root. They demonstrated it when it watched that they could eat. And sure enough, in a short while, all the monkeys on the island were now eating that root. And I don't know if they learned it from this one monkey or whatever, but the amazing thing was there were other islands in the same area. And they went to the other islands. It had the same problem with the lack of food. And from the time that they taught this one monkey how to dig up the root, suddenly all the monkeys were doing this in all the islands. So the idea is that if you can change something in the ethers, in the other dimensions, there is a communication that goes through the collective, and it can be far more reaching than you could ever imagine from doing your small little day-to-day things. So I know it works that way, and it's like we are all part of a creation like that. Doing the conference line, coming in every night, holding an energy and a space that we can feel that, and we're getting better and better at it. We're getting less doubt about it. I mean, obviously, if you're coming in and checking something out for the first time, you should have doubt. You should check it out really carefully. You should make sure there's nothing negative in it. And those people that have been on the line have seen over the period of time the transformation that everyone has had as a result of being here. And it's subtle. It's not a transformation like anyone hits you over the head. It's like there's a blending of energies. There's people help. What happens is when you have the co-creation at the high level, you can then move into making money, having relationships, and the relationship sustains because the relationship by itself might be just a discontinuous energy pattern. When it adds the energy of planetary service, the abrupt beginnings and ends become less abrupt. They become smooth, and you're just flowing from one thing to another without losing the energy, because your energy is now tapped into a very high ongoing flow that's based outside of this dimension. And that's rather important to have that experience right now, because according to the channelings we've been studying, there's this shift where this dimension is going to be going in a different direction than it did in the past, and that it's the energies and the connections that are outside of this dimension, which we've called 4D. 3D is this dimension. 4D is this next dimension that is being created, are the ones that are very important to participate in if you want to be on the, how can we say it, we didn't talk about this, the high side of this shift that's happening, the separation of souls, which they're saying we're on the verge of. So you're not going to get on the high side of it by being afraid about it. You're going to get on the high side of it by co-creative relationships that are based on things that are beyond anything you can gain in the physical. Then you can go back and gain all the things in the physical, and you can work with someone and make those things happen, but the relationship was not founded on that. It's a high relationship going down and then working at a lower level, but never losing the intent of the co-creation at the high level. Now, the group souls that we have been talking to, one thing they said is the negative forces can't be a group soul, at least not for very long, because as soon as something happens on the lower levels, and if you don't have this other vibration attached to it, then everybody gets greedy, and they say, I want this, and I want that. Or I want the power. I want the recognition. Look at me. Don't look at him. And so they're vying for what the group energy created, and they want it for themselves, and things fall apart. And I'm sure many of you have had that experience where maybe you've done a business and you started out and you had a great relationship. I know this has happened to me a number of times in my life. You had a great relationship with someone or an enthusiastic, and then as soon as there was money, either somebody stole from you or they left, they wanted to do it themselves, and there was no more relationship. And, usually whatever business happens as a result of that usually is not very successful because there's no magic in it. So keeping the magic. Keeping the magic means keeping the intent outside of this realm, high. And people get it. When you're coming from that place, people feel it. And you're not a threat to them. And people cooperate with you. And that's the things that we're all learning and attaining to. And then, of course, we have the circumstance where we have these group souls that can also co-create with us. They can join with these very energies we're talking about and assist things. And then we have huge, huge power in our high intentions, because it's not just us and even the physical group that we're co-creating with. We have the entry of millions and billions of souls, perhaps some of them not unlike ours, but in another dimension, that are adding to our own intentions, because if this realm is going to transform, it's not going to transform because Winfrey is talking to the Elohim. It's not going to transform because some very powerful source on the other side, at least this is how I have come to see it, is going to transform it for us. We need to co-create the energies down here so they can work with us and through us. Because if they could help us without our participation, I'm sure they would. But they can't. It doesn't work that way. So the co-creative energies that we are doing with each other are creating an invitation for those group souls. Then we create that invitation and they work with us. And that brings it down back to Christmas Eve, because I believe that's exactly how the basis of Christianity started. That there was a co-creative energy that was combining with the energies of these same group souls, which for easy purposes became called God, but it was more complex than that, but it just was too sophisticated to try to explain that, I believe, so it was simplified. And the co-creation created magic, and the magic created the beginning of Christianity, and that magic is in the air tonight. And we are in that magic right now. And if I stop for a moment, many of you are feeling that magic. Feeling that quiet space, feeling the vibration of the co-creative energies we're producing between us all, feeling this great energy that comes in when we invite those group souls to join in our co-creation. Now, I never knew this would happen. I don't know how to do this. I've just learned it by rote. I mean, having conversations with them. And the first time I said on this line, well, I'm inviting them to join us, I didn't know it would work. It was an invitation. But whenever I did, I could feel a shift of the energy. And I wondered, was I the only one feeling it? And I found out, no. The other people on the line could feel it too. And I said, geez, this voice that's coming out in these channels talking to me, that's just the tip of the iceberg. They are able to blend with us, and we can feel them. And that's far more valuable experience than just hearing a voice, because we are now in a co-creative mode with those very sources that we've read about, talked about, prayed to, and they become present in our space. Now, throughout my own experience, they've identified themselves as the Ra group and the Elohim group. But it doesn't matter if you want to call them God, that's fine. They don't care. They just feel the intent and the purity of your heart. If a group of people come together and pray to God, that's fine. It just so happens I've been privy to having a very sophisticated explanation of how it works. And for many people, this sophisticated explanation has caused them to connect with these sources, whereas the simplification of the word God doesn't. But if that's up to each individual. If you use the word Jesus, and that makes this energy come in for you, that's fine. If you use the word Christ, it makes it come in. If you use Buddha and it comes in, it's all fine. Doesn't matter the word. The matter is the blending of energies and the being able to penetrate through this confusion and this distortion that all humans have on this realm, and to penetrate beyond this realm to feel the energy. So this is Christmas Eve, and we are going to do, I think, a Christmas Eve meditation, and I want to check Daphne.
Yes?
Do you feel clear to do it?
Yeah, I'd like to preface this by saying that I am in a place called Conyers, Georgia, and I am at the oldest and largest Trappist monastery in the United States right now. And in about 2 hours, I'm going to go to Christmas, to Midnight Mass here with probably 100 or 200 other people. And the building itself was built in the 20s. It's extremely grounded. It sits on several hundred acres. It's got walls that are anywhere from 3 to 6 feet thick. And the reason I'm mentioning all of these kind of specifics is because when we talk about these celestial energies and these group soul energies that Wynn has been so eloquently describing for the last half an hour or so, what they cannot do on the other side that we can do on this side is we can do something called focalization and grounding. And there are places and opportunities and situations in which when you bring a group of people together that are highly attuned and highly sympathetically vibrating at a very high service to other level, and you anchor them into a place such as a Trappist monastery, and this is a contemplative monastery, so the monk's vocation here is prayer. They pray 5 times a day. And the energy that's been built up...
To begin recording this conference will now be recorded.
The energy that's been built up here over the last 60 or 70 years, and this is just my intuition, has already formed a powerful anchor into the gridwork of this area. By us doing what we are doing tonight, we are building on a foundation that is probably one of the purest and most powerful opportunities we've had on this conference call
to make something very, very, very powerful stick. This is a very rarefied place. Now, of course, nothing is perfectly pure or pristine, but we're not dealing with chaotic energy here. We're dealing with very, very uplifted, refined, coherent, disciplined energy. The Trappists are also known as the Cistercians, and the order goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. So,
Daphne,
mm-hmm?
Excuse me, but let me just tell you, we're supposed to be off the air at in 13 minutes, okay?
All right, so
that's a long intro.
Okay.
Actually, about 11 minutes.
Okay.
If you're listening on BBS Radio, and the channeling is going to continue past the time, sometimes Don can leave an extra 2 or 3 minutes, but if it's going to continue past that, I'm not going to cut it off. So Don can just take us off the air, and we'll continue for the group that's on the phone. And if Jara and Dennis are there, maybe they could record this. I don't know if they're ready to do it. I did put it on the phone line to record. So let me do an invocation to the light, and then I'm just going to turn it over. And remember, I'm not going to limit the channeling to time. And on BBS, I'm sorry, I should have started a little earlier. But I'm just going to leave it up to the other sources. And maybe we can, if you're on BBS and you missed this and you want to hear it, email me at winfrey@yahoo.com, and I will send a link up where you can listen to the complete channeling. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line and each person listening on BBS Radio. And we release any negativity into the higher realms of light to be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy through our bodies to the center of the Earth. And we now re-invoke the co-creative group energy, the connection that we're all making, those of you who are free-willing to do this, in the other dimensions, where we combine our energies, and we invite those group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, and all those other positive service to other intelligences, angelic forces, that are in support of the work we're doing to join us. And we create a blanket of energy that connects all of us beyond time, coming down on our entire country right now. And we will just leave silence and a moment for whichever group would like to speak to us through Daphne.
We hear your request. We bid you welcome and the joyous blessings of the Christ Herald this evening from this sacred space of monastic retreat in the very anchored space of Conyers, Georgia. This is Archangel Gabriel speaking. You have called in a celestial host this evening to give you the information which you seemingly desire. The preamble was important in helping people to understand that these energies of which you speak, unless focalized and rooted into the physical, remain ineffectual. This Christmas is a movement from thoughts about celestial beings, from thoughts about celestial groups, from thoughts and possibilities about celestial happenings, movement through a gateway into a doorway of actualization, of physical co-creation on the physical plane with you as midwives, every single one on the conference call is now being called to birth into your life in a tangible, not mental, not emotional, not psychological, but a tangible, visceral, hand-holdable way of unlimited compassion, truth, and upliftment for the planet. All begins in the realm of possibility and thought. And yes, it joins on the other side. The energies with the gates of the 10-10, 11-11, 12-12 have been building to this point. We are now moving into the 1-1 of which we spoke. We are also moving into the 1 of the 2008 numerologically, another 1. Soon after that, 1-1-1. Completely new beginnings, completely based upon non-third dimensional rules, completely based on an etheric vibration which is of the heart, not of the mind, not of the solar plexus, not of the will, but of the intelligence, and the heart has its own intelligence. It is the intelligence, the knowingness, that when you give to yourself. When you love, the love comes back to yourself. When you heal, the healing comes back to yourself. And you will see this speeded up immensely between now and the 3-3 and the 4-4, which is very quickly upon us as time is accelerating. The Christed love is not something out there. It is not just a good idea. It is not to go on shopping sprees and make people feel fine for a day or 2 days or eat lots of turkey. These are fine in and of themselves, but they are short-lasted. They do not create anything of lasting healing, value, or impact. We are now speaking of things which move beyond time and space, which move beyond the ephemeral, which move beyond that which can be destroyed in the physical. We are asking you, nay, we are demanding of you as light workers, as celestial beings in training, to have no fear. No fear. There is no place for fear any longer. Which means the greatest fear we all have is death. There is to be no more fear of death. Death is simply a doorway. It is a transition. It is a transmutation. It is a moving of the dial of frequencies of life energy from one stance to another, higher vibratory stance in most cases. The world as a 3D world is moving faster and faster into chaos. The world as a 4D world is pulling apart. The separations of the two frequencies is becoming greater and greater. There is a window, a time of choice. That choice is now. The boat is leaving the dock. Those who have one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock are going to find themselves falling into the ocean and drowning. Because 3D will no longer sustain the kinds of security